Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Next Level. I'm JVL, here with my best friend, Tim Miller.
Hey.
And that other guy, Sam Stein.
Sarah's on vacation.
I
thought we were doing a no vacation in the first 100 days rule. Is that the publisher gets a pass on that, or what's?
I don't think that's the way any of this works. Oh, okay. Tim, we have to pace ourselves because we're going to be doing this for forever.
Okay.
So I encourage people to take breaks.
I got a vacation coming in July, but you know, I'm just not trying. I'm trying to grind here during the prime time.
You're the grinder. He'll get you off. A little Easter egg there for people.
Good start to the show.
Welcome to the next level, Sam.
This is what happens when Sarah's gone.
This is the next level.
Boys level. Cock and ball jokes coming this hour.
Within the first minute.
So we got to talk about the Atlantic and the Signal. We don't have a story for this. Please don't call it Signalgate. I don't ever want it to be that. But lots of stuff happening. Tim, you had a great interview with Jeff Goldberg yesterday. Jeff Goldberg, one of my heroes. We can maybe in the back half have a little magazine boy talk about Jeff Goldberg and what he's done at the Atlantic, because it's so impressive. But then this morning, Goldberg released a lightly redacted version of the rest of the texts with the quote war plans that are of a quote sensitive nature. And, you know, it's just some timing of when aircraft are going to be taking off and which aircraft, and then which drones are going to be used and when they're going to be taking off, and then the time that the bombs are going to be dropping. And, you know, some stuff about having eyes on the ground to watch the target go into his girlfriend's place, which probably couldn't compromise any sources of... But the best part of all of this is that after having called Jeff Goldberg a liar and said that there were no war plans, there was nothing confidential and nothing sensitive, the Atlantic then reached out to like all the people involved and were like, hey, so are you cool with us publishing the rest of the texts? And the White House's answer from Karen Leavitt was, no, we object to that. There is sensitive information in those texts.
But that not war plans, though, because they've settled attack on a plans. Talking point today. It's attack plans. Jeffrey Goldberg attack is a fabulist. Plans. He promised war plans, and instead they were only attack plans.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Tim, don't you have to have an act of Congress to declare a war?
Oh, isn't Justin war Amash a legal has term? Entered the chat.
Ah, so if Congress has not voted to declare the war, then there can't even be a war to have plans for. Boom, roasted.
Yeah.
I'm mostly interested in, you know, they're absurd talking points today that I guess they feel like they have to do to just, it's like this test that Trump does to his people occasionally. He's like, I'm going to make you defend the most absurd thing possible just to demonstrate you're on side. And so we're going to go through that process again. I'm more interested, though, in the Waltz part of this and the Hegseth parts. Waltz on Laura Ingraham last night, obviously self-conscious that there's some chatter in MAGA world that people think that maybe he did this on purpose, that he's a neocon in the midst, that he's not a true believer. And so he's got to go on to Fox Prime Time and like do really, I mean, Pizzagate Jack level conspiracy mongering about this, about how like, oh, Jeffrey might have just hacked into my phone, and who knows whether it was deliberate.
That. It was even crazier.
Got sucked in. Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I think the backstory is there's a lot of chatter that this proves that Waltz has been leaking to Goldberg. So that's why Waltz is freaking out, right? Like, The assumption is that Waltz is leaking to Goldberg and he's trying to influence the Trump administration's foreign policy by going back channeling to the Atlantic, which is probably not the most effective way
maybe the worst way to do it.
Maybe the worst way, but putting this in. And then Waltz obviously has to, you know, shore up his credentials. So he goes on Ingram, and I think if I'm describing it correctly, his excuse is he added a contact to his contact list, and somehow the number, Jeffrey Goldberg's number, got transposed into that contact. And because he can't figure out the technology, because he's a boomer, he's having Elon Musk look into it.
But
he
thinks it might have been deliberate. He throws out there the national security advisor.
He suggests it could have been deliberate. Yeah,
That's an insane. That is that is an accusation of a very serious charge of espionage.
It doesn't really say much about him.
But he's doing this to happen. I mean, Waltz is saying like it was a mistake, and I take full responsibility for it, and we're moving it on. And then, like, literally later in the same day, he's like, you know, we got to look and see how it is that this loser, he called Jeff Goldberg loser, got sucked, you know, we have a tiger team that we are Elon Musk's smartest. Big Balls 42 is on it. Yeah. Big Balls 42 is looking into this. Balls.
I liked when Laura's trying to help him out. She's like, you know, it could be one of these things where he comes in and he's using the press list from the old national security advisor. Like, yeah, sure. Mike Waltz is just taking Jake Sullivan's message, you know, contact list and porting it into his phone.
Yeah. And then it was something on the cloud, right?
Yeah. it's like, what?
I mean, how the cloud works.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that. I mean, I assume that, like all important people, Mike Waltz is friends with the great Jeff Goldblum, the actor. And it could be that when he was putting Jeff Goldblum's contact information into his phone, he just mistyped a couple digits and accidentally put Jeff Goldberg's number in. Yeah. I mean, that's a thing that could happen.
It's possible.
The spin on this stuff is all ridiculous, but I do think it's an important exercise to just think about what Pete Hegseth would be doing today if this was one of the woke generals that had done this. One of the woke generals, you know, that had a DEI lesson, or a black general, or a woman. Yeah. Right. I honestly, if this exact same situation had happened and a mid-level woke general, a 3-star, had put Jeff Goldberg on a attack plan, that we would have wall-to-wall hearings, court martial. I mean, like, it's a better analogy than the what if Biden had done this? How would Fox cover it? Like that, you know, I was thinking that story, but like, what would this administration do?
Well, you can say how would Fox have covered it, because Pete Hegseth would have been on Fox,
right?
Covering it. So yes, that's exactly the analogy, and he would have absolutely called for a court martial. He would have absolutely demanded that they be fired, resigned, prosecuted. But it's not just Pete, obviously. I mean, we were going through this exercise yesterday with Bill Kristol for the morning shots. And we're just like, okay, let's assume this happens in normal times. Like, what would Congress do? They'd hold hearings. They'd launch investigations. What would the DOJ do? They'd have to investigate it. What would the FBI do? They'd have to do an assessment of the, you know, damage done. Same with the intel community. I mean, it goes down and down the list. And what will Trump do?
It would eat up the entire administration, Sam, because it wouldn't be just confined to this case. It would be who's using Signal where elsewhere. And so
they say at the beginning of the Signal chat, a couple other things we haven't like talked about, I just want to flag. They say at the beginning of the Signal chat, I don't have it in front of me, but something like, you know, adding from the previous PC group or something, right? So like we know there's at least another group that was having these discussions on Signal, maybe a smaller group than the PC small group. Maybe it's the PC super small group. The other thing I think Southpaw, I want to shout him out, over on mentioned on social media, which I think is noteworthy, is Stephen Miller gets added in late as like the heavy in a foreign policy discussion. Like the vice president is saying that he doesn't like this. He has concerns about this.
They bring in Stephen.
Waltz brings in Stephen Miller. It just shows you, you know, kind of like there is no confidence. There's no member of CENTCOM in this channel. Right? There's no actual generals. And so you have the TV Secretary of Defense.
Wouldn't do it.
Yeah. You have the TV Secretary of Defense. You have Waltz, who obviously is not in great standing yet, is still building his confidence. Rubio's an outsider. So they don't have anybody. It's like the heavy has to be Stephen Miller to come in and be like, nope, the president really wanted this. I think that's really telling about just how fucking deep into amateur hour we are.
I want to read from one of the hearings going on today. Senator Kelly, I'm just going to read the transcript. DoD policy prohibits discussion of even controlled unclassified information on unsecured devices. Are you both aware of that? Tulsi Gabbard, I haven't read that policy.
All right.
The CI Director Radcliffe, I'm not familiar with the DoD policy. And here's the other thing. So it is very, very difficult to download Signal on a government device. Maybe impossible. Which means these people are all using personal devices for this stuff.
Right.
Right.
And I...
In foreign countries. There is some, there is some, because we've said this at Supporting Good Start, there is some dispute about Witkoff. Yeah. Witkoff is credibly disputing that his phone was not in Russia. I guess maybe he left his phone at home, which maybe has its own issues.
He left it in an Uber on the way to the...
So there's some, there are OPSEC issues with not having your phone where you're discussing a bombing plan on it. But it is preferable to being in the Kremlin when you had it.
There is another little chestnut in there, though, which is in this text, which is Marco Rubio at one point adds a different contact or a device for Marco Rubio, right? Like he adds a separate device. So either he was currently on a government device and then added his personal one, or he was on a personal one and thought to himself, this is not great. I need to add the government one. Either way, one of them was likely a personal one. And Marco Rubio, there's a litany of, you know, statements from Marco Rubio about the, you know, sanctity of, you know, protecting classified information and all that stuff. So, you know, they all look shitty in this. They just can't admit it.
Am I wrong, though, that the – I talked about this yesterday in the newsletter. I mean, there are three levels of problem here. And we're all, I don't mean us, but the world is obsessing about the least problematic one. The least problematic one is national security breach, right? Like those,
the idea that the Houthis could have got an anti-aircraft missile and shot down the plane.
Which is bad, right? The idea that somebody is mishandling classified information is bad, but not the end of the world. The idea that people are violating the Presidential Records Act also bad, in fact, worse than the national security thing.
You think
I think so. I think much worse than the national security thing, because that speaks to the mode of government and not like amateur hour fuck ups, right? That speaks to people who are trying to hide what they're doing while in government. The most problematic is that the government won't investigate either of these things.
Yes.
Because that gets to a systemic problem. Like that's not, and that's new, right? I mean, people mishandle classified information all the time. That doesn't mean it's okay, but it just means like that is a thing which we are used to dealing with. People do try to get around Presidential Records Act. Not okay, but it's the thing that we have a system set up to handle. We do not have a system set up to handle when the government becomes lawless.
And yeah, I totally agree.
I don't even know what to do about that.
No, I mean, we have recent history of exactly how we handled it. You know, it was messy, obviously, but when Hillary Clinton's emails became an issue, obviously there were multiple investigations launched into a James Comey and so on and so forth. No one expects Pam Bondi to lift a finger, right? Like that's never going to happen.
Or cash. And Hakeem Jeffries isn't even trying. Hakeem Jeffries is like, maybe we can guilt Pete Hegseth into resigning. You know, but which is not the.
I mean, I guess like, they could. Great. Could House Democrats launch some sort of probe? They would have no subpoena power.
But they could bang the drum about. Well, we need an investigation, right? We need an investigation to how the entire administration.
I bet they end up there, JVL. Yeah. I can't imagine they don't. But it is pretty alarming that we just have no recourse here. No way to find out exactly the extent of the damage and how bad this, how bad the signal use is. It's just impossible to know.
So I just want to make another point about how silly these things are. So Waltz says that he's got some of Elon Musk's best boys investigating this. I mean, on the one hand, okay, that's wrong. But on the other hand, is that even true? Like, okay, if let's pretend this was true.
Yeah, of course it's not true.
Okay. Who are the names of these people who are investigating? Do they have the clearances to investigate these things? Who are they employed by? Are they employed by Starlink? Are they employed by the federal government? Right. What is their work product going to be? Are they going to do a report? Right. These are all things that you would, if you were actually doing an investigation to find out what happened, these would be the questions you answer even before you start the investigation.
It's going to be the guy who says, let's normalize Indian hate.
Your obsession over this is similar to my obsession over accusing accusing Goldberg of espionage. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, same. You've said, the National Security Advisor has said that. So what are we doing now?
Are they going to arrest Jeff Goldberg?
Right. Is someone from the DOJ going to go to the Atlantic?
Should do that.
Yeah. Are you going to seize his phones? I totally agree.
Yeah.
Seize Jeff Goldberg's phones, or else what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Just like willy nilly accusing people of espionage on television. Like, the whole thing is all just a farce, which I think speaks to your underlying point that there's no actual interest in accountability at all, which goes back to the firing of the inspectors general, you know, which we've talked about in all this. I mean, the other element to this, you know, that ties into my obsession of the San Salvador deportations, like simultaneously that the entire U.S. government is out there saying there's nothing, no big deal here, nothing sensitive, nothing classified about talking about the specific time that we're going to bomb Yemen. Okay, nothing classified there, but the details of when a plane left with people that were refugees to go to San Salvador, that's a state secret. We also put out a snuff video where like about it with like a sizzle reel.
But, look at how great this is.
But that's a state secret. So that's what they're saying in court. I mean, it goes to, and we've talked about this with Wittes and others. You've talked about with Ryan Goodman, Sam, and the interviews. It's like there are like multiple administrations happening where like they have this like, oh, we're going to try to backfill some level of rationale and seriousness to this anytime an actual judge makes us do it. But like the whole thing is just fake. Like it's all for show.
It's all fake. There was nothing classified or sensitive. Also, Jeff Goldberg can't release any of it because it's sensitive. It's the same thing, right? It's all like, I don't know.
Well, that's good.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it.
JBL, me and Sam talked about this yesterday. I'm curious your take. The other thing that really jumps out at me at the text is just how try hard Pete Hegseth is. And speaking of fake and like pretending to be a real Secretary of Defense man, like it's hard to imagine Mattis. Like forget the emojis. You know, forget the fist bump, American flag, fire emoji. Jim Mattis never would have sent that. It's really hard to imagine Jim Mattis being like, I'm on a chain with Scott Bessent and like the random like a person that Marco has appointed.
Joe Kent.
Yeah, Marco's political director is on here. And
Joe Kent.
Yeah, Joe Kent is on here.
Twice like, failed congressional candidate.
Aspiring white nationalist. Like so I'm going to send to that chain of 19 people, like very detailed plans about when we're going to bomb, at what time,
not
and when.
Not for war.
You can't imagine. Yeah, you can't imagine for not war. For war. For attack. You can't imagine him doing that because he's like, he wouldn't need to feel the need to get the approval of all these random fucking nobodies, right? Like he has the confidence in himself as a Secretary of Defense to have a plan, and he has the president's confidence, and he moved forward. Like this is the chain of somebody who knows that he's a TV host to me, and that is why the sensitive information was out there because he sent it.
Yeah, this is all like cosplay with him. Yeah. Like
Well, he's bad, but I've been watching Tulsi in the hearings yesterday and today, and that is like you. I don't feel for her, but you're watching someone disintegrate in front of a congressional committee. Just can't answer basic questions. Can't answer them.
Looks very nervous.
Yeah.
Republicans voted to confirm these two people like 5 minutes ago.
Yes. I don't want to overstate it, but like ultimately a lot of this does come back to the Senate Republicans just being like, we'll roll the dice. Like we will roll the dice with people we know are fundamentally unserious.
Great guys. You won that bet for 4 weeks.
Right.
Like, part of their rationale actually was that Marco and Waltz would be there, honestly. Like that was part of their, and they probably would have got there anyway, but like that's how they convinced themselves.
Fair enough. But like, it's not just national security because they rolled the dice obviously with a bunch of these people. And like, you know, we could talk about this later, but like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the domestic front is doing all the anti-vax stuff that Bill Cassidy said he would get, you know, heads up on and all that shit. And of course it didn't happen. And everyone predicted this would be the case. And they look like
we were right.
Yeah, we were right. And they look like amateurs that we predicted. And the Senate Republicans owe a lot of this responsibility.
I mean, I think so far RFK has been like a top three cabinet member.
Oh, don't even.
Maybe behind Doug Burgum. Maybe number two. I mean, it's a pretty motley crew.
I can't.
I mean, it can't be Sean Duffy. I mean, with all the planes falling, you know, Linda McMahon shutting down her own thing.
That's true.
The ag secretary is out there saying you should farm your own chickens. Do you count as a
cabinet member if they're eliminating your cabinet? Yeah. I don't know. That's a farm your own chickens.
John Ratcliffe couldn't remember. He's the head of the CIA. Couldn't remember what was on the text chain that he was on about bombing, apparently.
So hard to know.
Lori Chavez de Rimmer, she hasn't done anything too bad yet.
Much. What about Besant?
Yeah. Besant's been a disaster.
Yeah, but is he worse than RFK? Hasn't been great.
I think so. So far. I mean, so far, we're only 2 months in.
1/24th the way through. 1/24th.
All right, so can we go to Greenland?
I can't wait to talk about Greenland. What do you want to talk about, Sam? You're the
guest.
No,
Greenland. I really want to talk about Greenland. I like it.
So smart. Usha Vance was going to be sent to Greenland.
Usha.
Usha? Not Usha, like Usher?
Not like Usher. No.
Usha.
Oh, Usha. I'm sorry. These people care so much about getting people's names pronounced right that I wouldn't want to disrespect her in that way.
Me neither.
So Usha was going to get shipped to Greenland to do her... I guess they're trolling of our allies, and somehow she roped her husband into going with her. Is going to Greenland like the equivalent at the vice presidential level of like, sure, I'll go to Bed Bath and Beyond with you, honey? Is that like, is this errand that you desperately don't want to go on?
I wanted Greenland on the show map, JBL, because I want you, because I think you're the only person out there doing it. I want you to do your rant about how they should not allow them off the plane. That so they should not provide a visa to the vice president of the United States. Because I kind of agree. It's one of these ridiculous JBL takes that you know what? I think JBL's right about this. I don't think they should let J.D. Vance into the country.
So here's my contention is that the government of Greenland should not approve the entrance visa for anybody from the Trump administration. Like when Charlie Kirk showed up and Don Jr. and all these people. If they are flying into the U.S. military base, Greenland cannot prevent them from landing. But to get off the base, one assumes, you have to pass through some form of immigration checkpoint. You know, Greenland's got to control their borders, guys. Yeah. If you don't control your borders, you're not a country. And if you have a country which is threatening you with annexation against your will, and that country's leaders are showing up in order to do propaganda, why the fuck should you let them in?
No, it's a totally fair point. Honestly,
like, this would be like Hitler saying he wanted to visit Czechoslovakia and Poland. And the Poles being like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, we can't stop him. You know, I know he says he wants to subjugate us, but like, why would you let them in? I don't understand it.
I want to go back to how JD got roped into this trip, because I think you're right. I think it's like a Bed Bath and Beyond experience. She probably was like, look, I've been doing a lot of the parenting. You've been busy. Like, you owe me this one. I'm not going alone. Like, you're coming with me to Greenland. I don't want to be thrust into this horrible diplomatic fiasco that's being unfolded here. So JD has to get on a plane. I wonder, do they get signal service in Greenland? Because that's kind of important.
It will be important. Did you? And Nuke, did you watch the Usha video where she announced going to Greenland?
No.
I would recommend going to watch it because it is so humiliating.
Hello. I'm so excited to share that I'll be visiting Kalaallit Nunaat, Greenland, next weekend. I'm particularly thrilled to visit during your National Dog Sled Race, which our country is proud to support as a sponsor.
Like, Usha Vance... I don't have her CV in front of me, but she was like a clerk. She's a very accomplished lawyer. She's a clerk for multiple Supreme Court justices, maybe one Supreme Court justice and one, and then I think maybe Kavanaugh before he became Supreme Court. I forget what the list is. But Usha is extremely accomplished, smart person. And she is just doing like the Melania Trump, kind of like reading from like a teleprompter. Like, yeah. And we will go to Greenland as a cultural exchange. And it's like, why are you making yourself into just a pawn, a PR pawn for like Donald Trump's ridiculous spoof, John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. There you go. Yeah. It's an absurd video. The Curb Your Enthusiasm music version of it is kind of needed.
I think we know why, right? Because just in for a penny, in for a pound.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Right? This is true of literally all of them.
Well, and JD in particular.
Name one who's ever been like, you know what? I'm just not.
That's a good point. But for JD in particular, this is maybe bad news for some of our listeners because everybody loves bad news for a Trump administration person type story. But I forget who I was. I forget what I was watching. I was watching some lefty video where they were like, J.D. Vance is the most unpopular vice president in history. And like, here's the thing. I think J.D.'s strategic imperative is to become the most unpopular vice president in history.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, the only way for him to ostensibly at some point be the heir to MAGA, assuming Trump passes it off in 28 or 32 or 36, and assuming he doesn't want to give it to Barron, like, the only way to do it is to just demonstrate over and over again as ostentatiously as possible that he is a MAGA troll, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to, he has to actually act even more irresponsible than Trump to like gain the credibility, and so his numbers will be worse than Trump. But that is then how you secure the MAGA airship, and then you take a gamble that the Democrats like put up.
Right. You know, I mean, the history of modern Republican politics is if you show even like a modicum of daylight with Trump, you're done. Right. Like Mike Pence, January 6th, done. Ron DeSantis, the temerity to challenge Trump, done. Like, you can do everything possible to be a Trump clone, but if you show one little bit of daylight, it's over. And I think JD recognizes that.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, that is the answer then to the JD and Usha thing. If Usha is on board for the in for a penny, in for a pound, it's like, no, I have to, not only do I have to just be a good
small sacrifice to make in the greater good to go to Greenland.
I've got to be ridiculous. I've got to be a ridiculous clown. Like, I can't just be a good soldier. That's not good enough.
Right.
Can we talk about why we haven't invaded Greenland yet? Because like with everything else, we keep being told that Greenland, I mean, Donald Trump said the words, vital to our national interests. Okay, well, he's the president. He must know. And so if it's vital to our national interests, then we should take it. Right?
Well, what's the point of them going there? So they already sent Don Jr. there. They sent Charlie Kirk there. They held, Greenland held this election in which this party that had never done well suddenly did well because they were running against ostensibly Trump's influence. Like, what's the point of sending JD and Usha there? To your point, why not just like do it?
I think that this is they're learning from Putin, who's the model.
You just sort
and
of,
like the first try here before is to just can we just corrupt the political system there, and obtain Greenland via smoke and mirrors and Trump's political pressure and celebrity and maybe money, maybe crypto. I don't know. Maybe we'll throw them a few, you know, a little bit of
see if you can do Brexit.
Trump coins.
Right. See if you can convince somebody in Greenland.
But they tried that. Only 50,000 people. They tried that. It didn't work. I think if you're being really nefarious about it, you know, maybe this is what you're hinting at, JVL, is like you try to spark something like on the ground there, like some sort of like, you know, confrontation or riot or something like that. When you send someone there, create a pretext, right? You know,
so there are only like 41,000 people in Greenland, I think. I mean, so you could honestly, at that point, you could just go door to door and just try to find the person to be the spark. It's not like 56,000.
Anybody here
want to
shoot the Archduke of Ferdinand?
Yeah, 56,000 people. I mean, that is like a state house district in New Jersey. I mean, you could really just do a door-to-door campaign.
Honestly, just go write a check for $1 billion American dollars
or Trump coins.
Half of the people in Greenland and say, vote for us to, right? I mean, you could do that.
Yeah.
Like, just literally pay people off. It's a small enough group.
I agree with Tim, though. Make a Trump coin. You want to profit off that.
I like the idea. So if you're watching and you're one of the 56,000 people in Greenland, suggest to your new government that they not allow J.D. Vance in. Because I think that's a great suggestion.
It doesn't make any sense why they would.
No.
That's weak. You got to show strength.
You do have to show
strength. If I've learned anything, you have to show strength. You got to respond very strongly strongly at the border. If you don't, you know, Americans, they're not sending us their best.
And they said in the group chat that they loathe our European allies. Loathe. And that was in a private chat. So,
I mean,
freeloaders.
It seems like it. Okay. Some Tesla news. Can we talk about Tesla news? Really, please. Really great stuff.
Canadians, I saw our Sam's friends up in Canada are no longer providing rebates to people for Teslas. You know, if you buy a clean car, you get a rebate. Not for Tesla anymore.
I saw a Financial Times article, European sales of Tesla, like completely tanking, something like 73% down.
Let me tell you about that. Sure. So we have numbers now for the first 2 months in Europe. Overall, EV sales in Europe up 31%.
Okay. Seems good.
So EVs selling like hotcakes in Europe. Third increase.
Wow.
Tesla sales at the same time down 43%. It is very hard to lose nearly half of your market volume, not share, but your volume, when the overall market is growing by a third. They are on pace right now to sell 67,000 cars in Europe for this year.
That's nothing.
If they hold where they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, that is astonishing. And I'm putting this in the newsletter today, but this is YouTube. I understand the YouTube audience doesn't read the newsletter. It's fine with me.
It's not true. No, everyone is reading your newsletter.
Overlap in the Venn diagram.
Your newsletter is the most read newsletter anywhere on the internet.
I don't know about that.
who are you competing with? Maybe Heather Cox Richardson has you beat.
So I want to ask you for a moment if you can think of a bigger brand disaster than what has happened to Tesla.
Oh yeah.
And while you think, I'm going to give you, I did some digging on this, a quick comp, which is when Tylenol. You guys are probably both too young to remember this.
No, I know what you're about to say. Yeah.
So in October of...
I don't. I'm too young.
In October of 1982, seven people were killed by Tylenol because somebody had contaminated Tylenol in the Midwest and snuck cyanide into it. Tylenol's response was to pull every caplet of Tylenol off the shelf all over the country and destroy them. And then... stand up an entire new method of sealing these things and then manufacture the base load of Tylenol all over again. Anyway, with this, they only lost 7% of their market share over the course of that year. 7%. And they killed seven people. If Teslas had started driving around and killing their drivers... and Tesla had to simply brick every Tesla that had currently already been made and just start all over with their manufacturing processes, they probably would be doing better now than they are.
They would have regained some trust.
And instead, like, I just don't think there's a bottom because they have the guy who owns the company telling people that he's a Nazi. He likes Nazis. He salutes like a Nazi. He backs the neo-Nazi party. And that he hates you. Unless you are a very specific type of person, he hates you.
It's a horrible brand failure. It's hard to see a way out other than trying to like get stronger footholds in China or hope the Russians, I guess, start buying EVs. I don't know. Even that wouldn't probably do well. You asked for a comparison. I have a few. They're not exact.
Exciting.
All right. Enron comes to mind. Wasn't a great company.
Okay.
Hold on. Jared from the Subway.
Oh, that's good.
Jared at Subway. That did not go well. That was tough to survive after
Very
that.
Very tough for Jared.
Yeah. I mean, New
Church
Coke, I guess.
Jared kind of,
New yeah. Coke. I don't know. Those are the ones that I have.
Ooh, those are good. I also had Enron in my mind, and as well as New Coke.
I could think it was Value Jet. Which I don't know if you guys remember ValueJet, but ValueJet had one of the most horrific air crashes ever. A ValueJet crashed into the Florida Everglades. Oh. And it was one of these things where all of the bodies were getting eaten by gators. And it was one of these, like a Faces of Death level horror. And they changed the name of the company. They were like, so we also have news that the FBI is shifting agents onto a Tesla task force
yeah
to go after people who vandalize Teslas.
Is that public? That's reported?
Yes.
That is reported. That's why I put it on. That's, we had heard it through channels.
Yeah.
But now it's been publicly reported. Do you guys have thoughts on this? Is that how we keep America safe?
You know, it's Tim and I talked about this about a week ago, but it's an amazing amount of government resources now being devoted to help Tesla.
And it's, I thought we were against government waste.
I thought we were against crony capitalism and all that stuff. We have the Commerce Department, the Commerce Secretary, literally saying buy Tesla stock, which was insane. The president doing a Tesla showcase from the South Lawn. Then we have the FBI now doing this. Come on down. Get your Cybertruck. The DOJ is also looking to – like, I'm all for – obviously we should
– DHS. You know, Christy Noem put out a press – No, both. Yeah, Christy Noem.
No.
Yes. Here, I'll pull this up while you keep ranting. I'll pull this up.
You Google it. My point is it's still valid. I'm fine with them looking into people who are, you know, setting fire to Teslas and all the vandalism and stuff. But, like, this is a severe amount of government resources. And rededicating FBI agents to a task force specific for this one company is extraordinary, extraordinary wasteful. There are other things that I'm sure the FBI can do in addition to this. We don't need a dedicated task force.
DHS is involved because of domestic terror. That is true. Yeah. They put out a statement that they considered the attacks on Tesla to be domestic terrorists. So that's under the.
Are we going to deport these people to El Salvador? Have we? Is that policy?
Yes. Chamath suggested that.
Chamath, yeah.
Chamath Palihapitiya. Mayflower American Chamath Palihapitiya wants to start.
So if you set fire to a Tesla charging station, you can end up in an El Salvadorian prison.
Even if you're a citizen.
If you're a citizen. What the fuck?
Again. Like, this is all, it's all like the signal stuff. It's all like the nothing there was classified, but also Jeff Goldberg shouldn't release the things because it's sensitive. If you vandalize a Tesla, that is domestic terrorism. However, we're going to pardon everybody who has been convicted of January 6th crimes. And now President Trump says that they're looking very strongly into a compensation fund.
Reparations. Yeah.
Reparations. Yeah. Republicans finally came around to reparations.
Yeah, right? It took
just
a while.
Not to the family of slaves. reparations to white the guy who wore the Camp Auschwitz shirt, he needs reparations. Cool.
Yeah. I talked to Will Sommer about this last night. We were trying to take bets about who in Congress would introduce the reparations bill first. He went with Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I think is too easy. I'm going with someone else. I like that Brandon Gill guy down in Texas, I think.
Oh, Brandon Gill, that's a good pick.
Tim, what do you think?
About the reparations?
Yeah.
Tim's four.
After we do this, I'm about to reappear on Piers Morgan. I took a couple months off of doing the yelling at MAGA's content, but I have too much anger in my system these days to just, you know, kind of let it out on all you guys, you know, and I'm letting it out on Slack. You know, Sebastian's getting the brunt of my kind of blood pressure rising. And so I need to let it out on some MAGAs. And so one of the people that want the reparations is on with me today. So I'm excited to explore it with him. Brandon Straka, I guess, the guy that was a former Democrat that then became a MAGA and then was at the Capitol. He didn't actually attack.
He's going
any cops.
On Piers?
He's going on Piers. Yeah, so we're going to be out together here in just a little bit.
How much reparations does he want personally?
I think he wants legal, like pay for the legal.
Pay for the fees.
Yeah, pay for the fees, et cetera. And I think that's going to happen. I don't know why that wouldn't happen.
Where are they going to get the money from?
Would they even need to get it from Congress? Couldn't DOJ? Couldn't Bondi?
Some slush fund that DOJ has just lying around?
Good. I mean, we're not investigating. We're not looking into criminals anymore.
We're looking into Tesla vandals.
We're looking into people
one
that
class
say,
of criminal.
Say mean things about Elon Musk. Oh, we didn't even mention the U.S. attorney. In D.C. is using resources to go after and the new U.S. attorney in New Jersey, Lena Haba, pledges to go after people that criticize or vandalize Elon Musk. So, you know, like I think that we probably get a lot of resources lying around the DOJ, the types of traditional expensive investigations that they undertook, you know, going after kingpins, drug kingpins, you know, people that selling weapons across state lines, white collar criminals. We're not doing any of that anymore.
Well, I assume that these guys think that the government works the way Fox does, where there's just a pool of money to pay off the people who need to be paid off.
Well, but are they wrong? Could they not do a settlement? Could they not?
I think there is a settlement. I'm sure there's. I'm sure the government
pays. Yeah. Why wouldn't the government Pambani just settle?
Pays money, you know, for suits that are against it, right? Wrongful imprisonment and that is a thing
victim,
which happens
victim
all the
settlement
time.
Suit funds. That
right,
they can
it happens to down. Police departments, to city fire department. Not fire, but this is a thing that happens, right? So why not? Just a question of what the scale would be. It is. I mean, am I the only one who's disconcerted by all this stuff? Because you put this with...
I'm pretty disconcerted.
So what are they doing? They're signing executive orders to go after law firms that represent clients that they don't like or who employ lawyers who they don't like. That they're very keyed up on.
Yeah.
Catching actual criminals? Eh. Like, I don't know. Aren't we already at soft authoritarianism?
Yes. Absolutely. The legal stuff is really, I mean, almost underappreciated, but I should disclose, I have a sister, my sister's at one of these firms that's been targeted. So just full disclosure, but you know, they're perverting justice here, right? It's like, if you dare to take a side against the administration, they're going to try to put you out of business. That's what they're doing. They're trying to put you out of business. And it's quite chilling. I think it's soft authoritarianism. Yeah.
You know, it's Orban, it's a shakedown. I mean, I think that you can maybe quibble because what they're doing with like at airports and with immigration is mostly with like green visa holders. Right. So,
right.
You know, this is dipping a toe in the water, but I mean, look, the Miami Herald story about the guy that followed the refugee process, waited in a third country for 2 years, did everything right. Just sent to San Salvador with no due process. The woman that was the Korean woman,
they're chasing down a Columbia student. They're literally chasing down a Columbia student. It's crazy. She's a valedictorian who attended a pro-Palestinian protest.
Yeah, and got a ticket. I guess she got a ticket for being outside the you know, one of the buildings that were being occupied. Again, it wasn't like a leader of the group. So I know all of these people are kind of on visas, but none of them are getting due process. And to me, that it all, you know, it's like testing the doorknobs of authority. So I don't know where you want to, you know, put it on the, what's the stupid clock that they have? The nuclear
doomsday clock.
Yeah. The doomsday clock. We're at 11:57. Like, well, I don't know where we're at on the authoritarianism clock, but like they're testing it.
And I think the thing that, you know, obviously it's troubling that they're testing it. For me, I guess the other troubling thing is just how little pushback they're getting for it, right? Like, obviously we're complaining and we're pushing back and reporting on it, and there's plenty of people who are raising hell, but like, you know, we've all covered the acquiescence of the institutions, Columbia, Paul Weiss. I mean, but it's not just that. It's like, you know, for instance, on the law firm stuff, there's two real firms that are kind of aligned with Trump in DC, Sullivan and Cromwell and Jones Day. Okay. They have a choice in front of them. Do they represent the institutions of the law and stand up against what Trump's doing, which you would think is an appropriate thing to do? Or do you just stay quiet because you like the business from Trump? I've put in requests for comments to both firms. They're not responding. They're just going to stay quiet. And that's all well and good because they're going to get plenty of clients. They'll have their, you know, audience with the president.
The
lobbying business will be great. You know, that's the problem here, is that they've gone, put it this way, it's been an easy step towards authoritarianism for Trump.
JBL, this ties back to your point at the top about why the classified information element is the least concerning, and the fact that there's no accountability, there's no structures, no process.
Yes.
Like, that ties to this, right? So if you look, you know, sometimes you when you talk about, oh, like, these are authoritarian tactics, like, we hear from people in the comments, or I'll get emails or texts from people that are like, well, you know, this kind of stuff's happened before. Obviously, you go back to, you know, internment camps or whatever. And if you just go back to the Bush administration, look at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, right, as examples of relative, you know, things that you could say are comparable to kind of what's happening in San Salvador, et cetera. Even in, like, all those situations, there was never a moment where people were like, there's never going to be any investigation into any of this, right? Like, there's no, like, the Bush administration will just ignore a U.S. attorney or a judge that wants to weigh in on all that, right? Like sure, like, they push the edges, you know. There was the John Yoo, you know, memorandum they used to defend the fact that they could act extra constitutionally. So it's not as if there haven't been times where where other administrations have pushed the boundaries or gone overboard on what is constitutionally allowed. But like, that is the unique part here. Like, we're seeing this stuff happening, and across the board, across all institutions, there's like no expectation that there's recourse. And I do think that's really what is meaningfully different.
So I got a question for both of you before we get out, because we got a hard out here. And I'm going to ask you to play armchair psychologist for a broad group of people, institutions. But do you think if you are a senior partner at one of these firms, or you are the president of Columbia, or you are, take your pick, right? You know, on the board of Meta or something. Do they think to themselves, you know what? We just got to be right with this thing for 4 years and then it'll pass. Or do they think we got to get right with this because this is the future?
Well, I'll go first.
And I, granted, this is a distinction without a difference, but I am curious as a matter of psychology, do they know what time it is?
Yeah. My understanding, just from asking around, I'll just speak to the Paul Weiss component of this, because I think that's a good microcosm of the situation. I know nothing about the Columbia thing. I think for Columbia, $400 million is a lot, even for a well-endowed institution. But put that aside. Paul Weiss decides they're going to settle with Trump. And the question is, why? Why not just fight it? And the question you're asking is, do they think we just got to get to the right side of this and bear it for 4 years, or this is just the future and you have to deal with this guy? My understanding from talking with people in that situation is that they felt that they could maneuver their way through it, so that it was essentially, this is a 4-year thing, just get through it. And that they had these hard, you know, these negotiations with Trump people in the background, and that they thought that they came out of that pretty well situated. They didn't really have to make any sacrifices that they weren't willing to make already. The DEI stuff wasn't even in the memorandum. They didn't mention the pro bono work. They're already going to do a lot of that pro bono work. And like, what's wrong with defending kids who are being attacked for being Jewish on campus? Like, the problem was that, and this is always the problem, is that Trump runs out, spins the settlement the way he spins the settlement, presents them as cowering, which they really did. And then suddenly they look like assholes. And that's why their chairman had to issue a second email to staff defending himself, because it was withering criticism. So yes, I think they believe that they could survive. If they could just survive 4 years, everything will be all right. And then they learned a really quick, hard lesson, which is, no, in fact, this is the new reality and you're going to get worked.
Yeah, I don't think any of these people are thinking about 2029. I think it's a minute by minute calculation that people are making. It's short term calculations. It's, you know, quarterly earnings mindset, right? And I think that is what explains most of this. The thing that frustrates me about it all is, like, in a lot of these cases, I kind of reject just the assumption that acquiescing is even the medium term play for many of it. Like, in some of these cases, certainly it is. Many of these, I hear what you're saying about Columbia, Sam, but like, Columbia has a huge endowment. Like, yeah. Columbia would have been able to, could have gone to some of the gazillionaire donors that they have and said, hey, we're going to fight this. And they would have put more money in. They have a backstop. They would have gotten, like, from kid, like, a much, you know, a huge influx of excitement about people wanting to come to the university. You know what I mean? Like, it's a riskier play.
I agree with that.
It's a riskier play, no doubt. But like, it's so to me, it's caution and short-term thinking that is what is driving.
You know what's funny? The bad guys are always willing to make sacrifices. So like, yeah. Columbia looks at this and is like, oh, $400 million, meh. You guys remember Bob Jones University?
Sure, of course, yeah.
Bob Jones University, which had a racial segregation policy, basically, like, you know, no interracial dating in the student body. And, you know, like, the Justice Department, I think, came out, or maybe it was DOE, and basically was like, yeah, you know, no federal funds if you don't get rid of this. Bob right. Jones was like, you take your federal funds. We don't care. Why is it that Bob Jones can do that for their racism, but Columbia can't do that for liberalism? I don't understand.
No, it's totally fair.
All right, boys, good show. Medium length show, average length show. hit subscribe, hit like, follow the channel. We'll see you next week. And I'm sure by then everything will have worked itself out. Good luck, America.
Peace.
Bye.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.